wondrous love, pointed to the dying Savior. Now they dwell with him above. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? By and by is a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky. You remember songs of heaven which you sang with childish voice. Do you love the hymns they taught you, or are songs of earth your choice? Will the circle be unbroken by and by? By and by is a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky. You can picture happy gatherings round the fireside long ago, and you think of tearful partings when they left you here below. Will the circle be unbroken by and by? By and by is a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky. One by one there seats were emptied, and one by one they went away. Now the family is parted. Will it be complete one day? Will the circle be unbroken by and by? By and by is a better home awaiting in the sky, in the sky.
Welcome one and all to the Tiny Gospel Radio Hour, brought to you live by Poolsville Presbyterian Church, deep in the heart of Montgomery County, Maryland's Ag Reserve. I'm David. Hi, I'm your host and pastor for the next little while, and we're going to spend this next hour of worship listening to a little bit of Jesus music, a little bit of gospel, offering up prayers, hearing the word, and centering ourselves down in the grace of the gospel. That first piece that we brought ourselves in with is the old gospel standard, Will the Circle Be Unbroken, sung by Courtney Draper and Troy Baker on guitar. And it is from the BioShock Infinite video game soundtrack. Very strange how that works. But things are a little peculiar right now still. And as we gather together this morning virtually in our homes and with our coffee and still in our jammies, it's good for us to trust that that circle will remain unbroken and that there will be a time we get together again. But right now we are where we are, so let's go small together for a while. Let's cozy on up in our places, cozy on up together in small church and do the tiny gospel thing together. So as we gather in one with one, folks, if y'all aren't getting your email, we should be getting email announcements every single week. I'm now typing out my email address for the whole world to see. There it is, popping up in the comments section. If you're not getting announcements on a weekly basis, not getting the insert material, send me an email and I will make absolutely sure that you get informed about what's going on in the life of the church over the course of the week. That's our prayer request, that's announcements, that's every other piece of life in church. There's a particular announcement I was asked to pitch out this morning by our intrepid music director, Monica, who is apparently going to be trying out what she's calling a very casual, low-key junk band, a garage band with recycled materials for kids and youth, open to all ages. She'll be pitching out an announcement on that at some point to pull together We Are Marching in the Light of God for voices, percussion, and instruments. So I've been asked to plug it, and the plug is therefore plugged. Look for that email, and if you're interested in being part of creating that kind of musical experience, give it a go. We'll look forward to hearing the fruit of that as the weeks continue. So now, as we move our way through our announcements, let's listen again to some very tiny church-appropriate music. We're going to listen to a recorder version of Yaesu, Joy of Man's Desiring, which I think perfectly matches our lovely tableau this morning, as our worship diorama reflects our little church. We got that little garden over here, and here's a little sanctuary, and we got Spear Hall, we've got the Manson, you know, the obligatory motorcycle, because you gotta have a bike. So let's reflect now for a moment as we listen to Yaesu, Joy of Man's Desiring on piano and recorder. Together, and here at this point, let's go to God in prayer for a moment. Let's have a word of prayer. Gracious God, just 1 week has passed since Easter. On that beautiful warm Sunday, just what feels like a few days ago, we celebrated that in Jesus there is hope for new life. We reminded ourselves to be shaped to the new life to which you have called us. But 1 week later, we have to ask ourselves, are we doing it, Lord? Are the actions we've taken in the last week, are the thoughts that have filled our minds, the thoughts and actions of souls who really embrace the gospel message. Gracious Lord, we know that that's not always been true. Help us in this time, through the grace of your Spirit, to do what Jesus taught. Because though it's just been a week since Easter, we can quickly forget. In Christ's name we pray this. Amen. And as we've heard that confession resonate in our hearts, listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you in the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. May the God of all mercy, who forgives us all of our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Let's now turn ourselves to some more worship music. Here we'll listen to I Will Rise, sung by our own Monica. Let's listen to I Will Rise.
There's a peace I've come to know, though my heart and flesh may fail. There's an anchor for my soul. I can say it is well. Jesus has overcome. Grave is overwhelmed. The victory is won. He is risen from the dead, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise. There's a day that's drawing near, when this darkness breaks to light and the shadows disappear, and my faith shall be my eyes, and I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise, and I hear the voice of many angels sing, worthy is the Lamb, and I hear the cry of every living thing, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. And I will rise when he calls my name. No more sorrow, no more pain. I will rise on eagle's wings before my God, fall on my knees and rise. I will rise.
Thank you for that, Monica. I'll now invite forward virtually Elder Kathy Hanna for our first two scripture readings. Let's listen for God's word.
The first reading is Psalm 16. Protect me, O God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. I have no good apart from you. As for the holy ones in the land, they are the noble in whom is all my delight. Those who choose another god multiply their sorrows. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names upon my lips. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and will not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure. For you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful one see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The second reading is 1 Peter 1, 3 through 9. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. By his great mercy has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you who are being protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Yes, you rejoice, even if now for a little while you have had to suffer various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being more precious than gold, that though perishable is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. For you are receiving the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Kathy. One of the things that I think I personally miss most about not gathering together in person is the opportunity to do a children's message, the opportunity to sit down with the tiny people of our tiny church and talk a little bit about how things are going with them. And I also remember, as I miss that time, that somebody else probably misses that time. The front of our church and that little vestibule, the little nose of our church, there's a basket, and that basket is filled with worship buddies, the little stuffed animals that are there waiting the hands of children in the mornings on Sunday. Just a little pal to have along with a child as they sit in worship with us. And I, having watched too many Toy Story movies, sort of feel this sense of compassion for our worship buddies sitting there in a basket all alone in a church without the children. And thinking on that this last week, I figured I would pop by the church, which I did after sterilizing my hands and after washing the knobs with stuff. And I popped that basket into my vehicle and I came home with it because we've got I thought one thing I might want to do for the next few weeks, as we'll be doing this for a while, is to feature a worship buddy. So our worship buddy this week is a moose. There he is. Chocolate is his name. So Chocolate Moose will be joining us in worship. And whenever we gather in worship, say, hi, Chocolate Moose. Chocolate Moose says hi to all of you. We tend to listen to music, and I've missed hearing this little tune. So as we let Chocolate Moose join us in worship, we're going to listen to Jesus Loves Me, because I haven't heard that in a couple weeks and I miss it. So let's hear a rendition of Jesus Loves Me by pianist Caleb Bracey. Let's now open our hearts and our minds again to the hearing of God's word as we listen for it in Scripture. Today's third Scripture reading is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. That's John 20, 19 through 31. Let's listen for God's holy word. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he'd said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you've seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they might be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. It has been a peculiar last month, one that has found me in the interruption of my normal patterns of life, going down internet rabbit holes more often than I would typically like. You may have experienced the internet rabbit hole thing where you start looking at one thing, perfectly legitimate, and then from that you find another link, something interesting. "Oh, look at that," you say, and you click on that, and then you click on something else. And then you click on something else, and an hour later, you are deep into watching a guy who reviews axes for woodsmen talk about the history of maker's marks and the production of bread and the demise of craftsmanship. And you think to yourself, "How did I get here?" And you only sort of remember. And that actually was a really fascinating video. Should I ever find that the ministry requires me to fabricate a handle for a Japanese-style long-bladed kindling hand axe, I will know where to begin. That strange spirit of drifting about from idea to idea brought me to another peculiar connection recently. I'd been listening to worship, seeking around for things that would be appropriate to include in worship there in my comfy chair in the living room with the headphones on, when I found myself drifting down another rabbit hole. This one, the unusual musical instrument rabbit hole. Because apparently, and you can watch this on YouTube, there are many people who play and surface old, bizarre, archaic, medieval stringed instruments, all played by the craftsfolk who build them now. There are people who play contrabass saxophones with impossibly low, deep bass tones, like the saxophone that I played badly in middle school, only these saxophones are the same size as a middle schooler themselves. I wandered down that rabbit hole for a while, and after an hour or so, I found myself going way, way down into granular information about one of the strangest musical instruments in the world. This, the theremin. Invented in the 1920s by Russian scientist Lev Sergeyevich Termin, theremins don't really even look like a musical instrument. They have no keys. There are no strings. There's no mouthpiece. There are no holes to cover with your fingers. A classic theremin looks like a box. On one side of the box, there's a metal antenna that rises about 2.5 feet high. On the opposite side of the box, poking out from the side, a metal loop. That's it. That is the instrument. And the theremin makes a peculiar sound. It's a very strange sounding instrument. It makes this keening, eerie warble, one that is perhaps best known from countless 1950s horror and science fiction films. It's just a peculiar tone. Here, for instance, as we listen in, we can hear it in the opening theme from the 1951 sci-fi classic, The Day the Earth Stood Still. A peculiar sound. And a strange, classic, wonderful movie, if you've ever seen it. This is The Day the Earth Stood Still is a film about a man who arrives from above with a message of peace, only to be killed by the powers that be and then raised from the dead. And we've never heard that one before, right? It makes a strange sound, that warbling, as one of the first electronic musical instruments, but the weirdest thing about a theremin is how you play it. You don't blow it, you don't strum it, and you don't bang on it. You have, if you are a theremin instrumentalist, no physical contact with the instrument at all. A master theremin player simply waves their hands over the instrument, and the placement and movement of your hands modifies the electromagnetic fields around the two different antennae, which changes the tone and the volume. That weird alien vibrato comes just by wiggling one's hand. There's nothing to touch. There are no frets, no board, no nothing. There's a joke told among theremin players. Here's the joke. I bought a theremin because I thought it sounded cool, but I haven't touched it in years. Thank you, thank you. I am literally here all week. Watching the theremin being played, well, you kind of don't believe it's really being played. It looks fake. There's just someone waving their hands in the air over a box. It doesn't look real. The music seems to be happening without any contact, without anything. How can that work? Music without touch. It feels unbelievable. It feels impossible. It's so hard to believe things that we can't touch, that we can't see in action. We human beings like the concrete, the obvious, and the tangible, and that basic human desire lies at the foundation of the message about doubt that we hear in John's Gospel this morning. A tale that is known to many of us as the story of Doubting Thomas. Today's scripture begins with the disciples gathered in a house. They are knit tight together. They are behind locked doors, and they are afraid. And that fear makes sense, because even though this was right after Easter and they'd heard reports of things from Mary Magdalene, the world around them was unsettled. They couldn't figure out what was up with this Jesus that they loved and followed. They had seen him die and they'd received that message that he'd been risen, but they were still afraid. They weren't eager to go that route themselves, and generally most of us have that reaction when presented with the very real likelihood of death and suffering. I might die horrifically. Maybe I should just lay low behind locked doors in my home for a while. And we feel that now. The disciples were sheltering in place, and we get that. And these frightened souls have a visitation, the arrival of a Jesus who brings them a word of peace. Shalom, he says to them, giving them peace and then giving them the great gifts of the true church, giving them the Holy Spirit and, importantly, the power to forgive one another. And then he's gone. This is where Thomas comes in. It's not clear quite why Thomas wasn't there in the first place. Maybe they'd sent him out for the once weekly grocery run, who knows. But he gets back from wherever he was, and they say the same thing to him that Mary Magdalene had said to them. We have seen the Lord, they say, and Thomas can't believe it. He shakes his head. What are you kidding me? No. I want evidence. I want to be able to touch this. I want to know this. Show me, he says. And it is easy for us to read his demands as being overly aggressive. But he knew Jesus. Thomas knew Jesus, had been around him, had known what it was to be in his presence. He wanted to feel that presence again, wanted to know that person right there. And again, we can feel that pretty well now, the desire to be in another's presence. We hear from the story that a week passes and the doors are still locked, they're still shut in, and somehow Jesus manages to slip in again. Jesus offers them the same shalom, the same peace. But now Thomas is there, so it's time for Jesus to have a little chat with him. And what Jesus doesn't do is attack Thomas or mock him for not being willing to buy the story that all of the disciples had told him. Jesus knew that we human beings sometimes need contact, affirmation. We need presence. It's hard for us in that absence. So Jesus doesn't condemn him. He simply says, here I am. Here's my side. Go ahead. Just don't doubt, but believe. Thomas touches him and says, my Lord and my God. And Jesus reminds us that, like Thomas, we all struggle with things we can't touch. We struggle with uncertainty, because doubt is often a necessary part of who we are. We struggle because there are certainly brief moments of clarity in our lives, but there's so many other times where things feel less clear, where we're less sure about the robustness of our knowing, less sure about what path lies before us. Do not doubt, but believe. It seems so hard when we can't hold the thing in our hands, when faith seems to demand us to trust in something so ephemeral it could slip away in an instant. Doubt is always there in us. But Jesus puts that doubt in the contexts of faith. If we are completely certain of a thing, if we grasp it totally and there's nothing about it we don't know, we don't really have faith. If we can explain everything and be totally and utterly confident in our explanation, if we grasp it completely, if we hold it in our hands, if we contain it and constrain it, we don't really have faith. Faith requires more. Like the way we're together right here and now. We're not in the same room, and I'm not even in the same state as most of y'all. Miles and rivers separate us, and yet we are still together. My voice wends to you in a way as peculiar as a theremin's music. It's been broken down and digitized and reassembled and sent. And little magnets in your phone or your laptop or your screen are vibrating to simulate my voice. And yet, wherever you are, we're together. Just as you comment now, as you listen in, are here with one another, and all of us here together. It's a strange thing. And yet, in the spirit, it's real. And I have faith in the goodness of that, just as I have faith in the one, and we have faith in the one whose spirit and grace binds us all together, and whose mercy leads us to deepen our grace, even in the face of doubt. So do not doubt, but let us all believe in the goodness of the gospel that Jesus brings to those who are shut in and afraid. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen. And as I was looking for music and looking through theremin music, I thought to myself, somewhere in the world there must have been played a version of Amazing Grace on theremin. And I looked around, and I looked around, and there I found one. It's being played a couple years back in what looks like a club in Tokyo, where a Japanese woman by the name of Sayoki Takaki played a really lovely version of Amazing Grace on theremin to a gathered crowd who were half listening. Well, let's give her the respect in that song, the respect of a little listen. We're listening now to Amazing Grace on theremin, played by Sayoko Takaki. Thank you. That was Sayoko Takaki playing Amazing Grace on theremin. We're now at the point in our service where I remind folks that supporting this ministry is a vital and significant part of how you keep us being able to share God's Word with one another and supporting community. And to support the church, you can go to www.poolprez.com, and at the bottom of the page, there's information on how to have a donation regularly contributed. You can fill out a form and get that transferred on. Alternately, we do the old classic method and support our postal service. So you can mail a check to Poolsville Presbyterian Church, Post Office Box 68, Poolsville, Maryland 20837. That's Poolsville Presbyterian Church, Post Office Box 68, in Poolsville, Maryland 20837. We thank you so much for continuing to support this ministry. As we reflect on that, we're actually going to reach a little bit back in time, back to 2016, to a song sung by Poolsville Presbyterian Church women at that point in time. We're going to listen to a recording of a song entitled Faith is the Bird That Feels the Light. Let's give that a listen. The Poolsville Presbyterian Church Women Choir, all women choir from 2016, with Faith is the Bird That Feels the Light. We'll now invite virtually Elder Jerome Hobart forward to offer up our prayers of the people for this week.
Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. We praise you for your presence through the long march of our human history. We praise you that you have never left us bereft and without a witness to you when the world seems the darkest to us. Speak to us this day again. Speak to us again your gentle word of peace. Grant us your peace when our lives turn difficult and when we seem to be wandering and confused. Grant us your peace when we are vulnerable and frightened. Grant us your peace when we are walking through uncertain valleys and the next step seems only to hold foreboding for us. Grant us your peace when our health is threatened and when we feel fearful that our future may be limited or terminal. Grant us your peace when our sense of your presence is thin and like Job we feel as if we are among the forgotten of your people. Grant us your peace when our economic security is threatened and when our fears about tomorrow well up and overwhelm us. Grant us your peace when our questions and doubts seem stronger than our faith and trust, and grant us courage to face them and live them until we come again to a greater certainty. In all of life, may we hear again the words of Jesus, peace be with you. And for those on our prayer list, prayers for all those sick and depressed and suffering from anxiety, all those dealing with chronic issues, all with the that are dealing with addictions, going through difficult times, be with Bill and Jackie, Ms. Edwards and Kim and Elise and Neil and Gary and Jan and Roy and Annie's sister of a coworker suffering from stage 4 breast cancer, Walt Donson, Wendy Stalker, Sue Seven, Lynn Selby, for Ross, for Priscilla, who's Linda's coworker. Prayers for our world during the COVID-19 pandemic. May our leaders make wise decisions and vaccine be developed quickly, and we heed advice from experts. Prayer for comfort for those grieving the loss of loved ones. Joys for Bill's sister, for Joe's great niece, Ashley, for Linda's co-worker finished with treatments, and for Sarah. And let us share in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
As we get nearer to the close of worship today, let's open ourselves again to hearing some good music from our community. I'll virtually invite forward Jill and Bill McDonald to play and sing for us, O Death. Let's listen for that.
O Death, O Death, where is thy sting?
Had a chance to listen to our community sing. We've had a chance to hear God's word, and now we are preparing ourselves to step out into an uncertain week and an uncertain world. And this is the... it's so peculiar that Doubting Thomas should be what we see at this point in our liturgical year. Here we are right after Easter in this place of doubt, this place of challenge, and here Scripture offers up for us a story of someone who struggled to know what to do when he couldn't put his hand right on something, couldn't know it definitely. And I think all of us get that not knowing definitely thing quite well. When are we definitely going out again? We don't know. When are we definitely gathering for as church again? We're not quite certain. Doubt is so present for all of us. And it's easy for that to gnaw at our souls. But Jesus reminds us, as he reminded Thomas, faith is deeper than that. Faith grounds us in something that, while it allows for us to be uncertain, it doesn't let that uncertainty define us. What we are certain of in faith is Christ's love, certain of grace and the truth of the strength of the Holy Spirit, that all is made well when we have God's grace and the good news in front of us. That can be a difficult thing for us to hold on to. But we are reminded this week that no matter what our doubts, no matter what our uncertainties, our faith in Christ guides us and his grace leads us in all that we do. Hold on to that this week and always as you journey through these uncertain times. So now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us this day and always. Amen. And as we process out today, virtually, I'm going to leave us with something we heard a little excerpt of from, because it's thematically relevant and life is standing still for us a tiny little bit lately. Let's hear the last little bit of the opening piece and opening portion of that great 1951 sci-fi classic, The Day the Earth Stood Still. It's not your standard postlude, but these aren't standard times. Enjoy, and I'll see you all next week.